This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In. It's Friday. Here I am. And thank you for listening. I thank you for all of your questions. I get questions from listeners, from lay people, from colleagues. I appreciate them all. Any questions or comments that you may have or topics of interest, I invite you to email me at radioprogram@AOL.com. Keep it all coming. Kristen writes, what about the recommendation, and this is controversy here, for removing dairy post-cancer, in particular a breast cancer diagnosis? Kristen is a fellow RD. She's a colleague of mine. And, you know, when I deal with cancer patients, I always bring up the topic of dairy. I'll tell you why. It is controversial. Dairy, or any mother's milk, has a lot of growth factors, especially insulin-like growth factor 1, IGF-1. A higher amount of insulin in the body, whether from a growth factor like that or endogenous insulin, which is also translated to IGF-1, is a promoter of cancer. It may be. It can feed a cancer. And it certainly propagates more inflammation in the body. Think about it this way. When we are weaned from our mother's breast, we are done with milk, but then we go on to drink another animal's milk, whether it's cow's milk, sheep's, goats. Many people have trouble with cow's milk because of the proteins. Sheep's and goats are better tolerated. But any milk from an animal, mammalian milk, is meant for a growing infant, a growing baby, a growing calf. They need these growth factors to grow and develop. But what happens when an older person, an adult, is taking in all of these growth factors? And that's why this is controversial. All of these growth factors in the body are not a great thing, and especially in somebody who's had cancer. Now, anecdotally, I know women who've had breast pain in the past or swelling, tenderness. These are often associated with PMS, the menstrual cycle, so forth and so on. But anecdotally, I have heard from patients and clients, they give up all dairy, their breasts feel better, no more pain. There's actually almost a feeling of deflating of the breasts, no more swelling or tenderness. So I have to wonder about the growth factors. We already know in the scientific literature that the presence of steroid hormones in dairy products could be an important risk factor in various cancers in humans. Particularly, we're talking about the role of estrogens, insulin-like growth factor that I just mentioned, that they may provoke breast, prostate, and endometrial tumors. Very interesting. But we've known this for quite a while. The hormones in dairy, non-organic dairy is another one. Raw dairy, that's a separate issue. I'm really not going to go into raw dairy today. But definitely the hormones that are used, okay? Not to mention the antibiotics. So I wonder about the role that that's playing there. So it is suggested, and there was actually a study I'm reading from the Journal of the National Cancer Institute a couple of years ago. We know that the hormone estrogen stimulates breast cell growth, okay? And especially in the growth of hormone receptor positive breast cells, breast cancer cells. And I would say 70-75% of breast cancers are hormone positive. So dairy may be a factor here. Estrogen is created, it's also stored in the breast cell, in fat cells. And many researchers believe that the dairy products here in the U.S. and other Western countries will have higher levels of progesterone estrogen because the milk is produced by pregnant cows. Think about that. A lot of growth factors there. The cow is pregnant. Now, this study that I'm actually reading to you from, they were looking to see if there was a difference between consumption of low-fat dairy versus full-fat dairy and what impact, if any, it has on breast cancer recurrence, breast cancer outcomes, mortality from breast cancer, and especially for women with the hormone receptor positive breast cancer. So the study is actually suggesting that low-fat dairy products may be a better choice, and the reason for that is our fat cells, any fat cells, are a secretor of more estrogens, more hormones, inflammatory cytokines, all of that. So there's a reason that low-fat dairy may be better tolerated than high-fat. But, you know, I don't even make that distinction so much because dairy in and of itself has growth factors. And if you've already had breast cancer or any other type of cancer, it may be in your best interest to avoid it altogether. But at the very least, if you're going to consume dairy, you want to make sure that it's at least organic from grass-fed animals and so forth. Now, so in this study, the researchers wanted to know if eating full-fat dairy increases the risk of breast cancer recurrence as well as dying from breast cancer. But I've got a problem with this study. I want to tell you about this. In this study, the full-fat dairy products included whole milk. Get this. I'm bullet pointing. Whole milk, pudding, ice cream, custard, flan, condensed or evaporated milk. Hello? Anybody see sugar here? I wonder how much of a confounder the sugar is going to be. Because if you're asking women what kind of dairy they ate, if it was low fat or full fat, you also have to ask the question, was it a fruited yogurt? Was it a plain yogurt? Did it include ice cream or pudding? All of that, because there is sugar there as well. And whole milk, besides being full fat, also has lactose, which is a sugar. And you know, sugars feed cancer. So anyway, the researchers looked at about 1,900 women who've had early stage breast cancer. They looked at them from the years 1997 to 2000, and they gave them a survey. And you know, food frequency questionnaires are given out in a lot of the scientific research to gauge what the women ate during this time, how much dairy they ate in the previous year, how large was the serving size, the types of dairy products, were they skim, were they low fat, 2%, full fat. So what they found is that women who reported eating one or more servings of full fat dairy products had a 64% higher risk of dying from any cause and a 49% higher risk from dying from breast cancer compared to women who ate fewer servings of full-fat dairy products or women who ate low-fat dairy products. However, there was no association between the amount of low-fat dairy products eaten and breast cancer survival. And there also was no association between the risk of recurrence and the amount of full-fat dairy products eaten. Folks, I want to tell you the fact that the dairy, you know, it wasn't just about non-sugar dairy, it was all about sugar-laden dairy, you know, like your Yoplait yogurt, which has got the pink ribbon that supports Susan G. Well, you know, the yogurt with jam that we're eating can promote a cancer because it contains sugar. So this is problematic. So here are the confounders. The women in the study, they had to remember exactly how much, what type of dairy they ate for an entire year, the previous year. So they had to recall. And, you know, doing even a 24-hour recall can be tough when we do that with our clients. But imagine an entire year that you have to recall of, hey, what, not just what did I eat regularly, but the type of food. Was it full fat? Was it non-fat? Was it, you know, 2%? So a lot of what was supplied with regard to food diaries, food frequency questionnaires, they could be misreported because we all have selective memory when it comes to, hey, what did we eat and what might be the right answer. And it's also not clear whether the researchers looked at what else the women were eating and whether the women's weight and exercise habits were considered. So that's a big, big confounder right there. A woman's weight, if she's not a healthy weight, if she's overweight, she's going to have a fat depot. And that fat depot, especially if she's postmenopausal, is going to be in the belly. Guess what? After menopause, that's a main source of estrogen, the fat cells in the belly, along with the hips and thighs. But you know, after menopause, we tend to accumulate more fat in the abdominal region. This is absolutely a confounder. Being overweight, a lack of exercise, are two factors that can lead to worse breast cancer outcome, as well as increase the risk for a recurrence. The third thing in this particular study is they didn't know the hormone receptor status of the breast cancers in the study. So if a woman was diagnosed with hormone receptor positive breast cancer, it's likely that she would be prescribed hormonal therapy for at least 5 years after the surgery, something like tamoxifen, right, to kind of quash the estrogen to better chances of not having a recurrence. So at really the bottom line of this, while the study is showing an association between full-fat dairy products and worse breast cancer outcomes, it doesn't prove that the first causes the second. And why is that? Because there are all these confounders. The sugar intake, for one, the exercise, the weight, BMI, body composition status of the women. So there are all these confounders we actually don't know. So here are the things that we can control. What are the things that we can control in taking care of, you know, in trying to ensure the fact that we either, A, prevent breast cancer, or we try to prevent its recurrence. First of all, the things we can't control, gender, because just being a woman is a main risk factor for developing a breast cancer, right? Men do get breast cancer, but it's about 100 times more common in women than in men. Why? Because men have less hormones, estrogen and progesterone, which may, you know, promote breast cancer growth. What else can't we control? Our genetics. We can't control our genes. We can't control the fact that we're aging. There's a higher risk of breast cancer as we get older and postmenopausally. We can't control if we have a family history of breast cancer or having had a personal history of breast cancer, right? There are certain breast conditions which may slightly increase risk of breast cancer. Some things you can take care of if you have fibrocystic breast disease. It may be worth your time to get your iodine levels checked to make sure, because iodine is really good for healthy breast tissue. Giving up dairy, as I told you earlier in this podcast, anecdotally, I've seen women do much, much better concerning their breast health with the complete elimination of dairy. So not even a little goat cheese or a little sheep's milk cheese or anything like that. And most importantly, avoiding the toxins in our environment. And not most importantly, I'm going to touch on a few other things here too, like nutrient deficiencies, and things like that. The toxins in our environment, we have estrogen mimics. We are living in a polluted environment. Compounds in the environment have estrogen-like properties, and these are absolutely of special interest. We've got PCBs, polychlorinated biphenyls, you know, and this can impact everybody. Parabens, triclosan. Triclosan is an antibacterial in your hand soap. Stop buying antibacterial soap. It's a gender bender. These are xenoestrogens in the environment that can contribute to the growth of breast cancer. Parabens, they're used as preservatives in lotions and in shampoos. These are endocrine disruptors, aka gender benders. These can mimic estrogen in your body. Glycol, okay, phenoxyethanols, Roundup. Stop using Roundup. You know, the percentage of breast cancer is higher on Long Island, meaning to me in the suburbs. Could any of that have to do with lawn care and using herbicides like Roundup? Glyphosate is terrible, terrible environmental toxin. What else? You want other things we can control. Nutrient deficiencies. We already know that a low vitamin D level is a risk factor for any type of cancer recurring, especially for a woman who's already had breast cancer. I like to see vitamin D levels, serum vitamin D levels, 25 OHD, 25 hydroxy vitamin D, at least 55 and as high as 90, because a person who's already had cancer, is undergoing chemo radiation, they need much higher serum vitamin D levels. So it's best to get it checked at least twice a year, once after summer, once after winter. Checking nutrient deficiencies such as folate, B12, other micronutrients and minerals. Having a low folate can be a risk factor for cancer. Having a higher folate in the body can act as cancer prevention. However, once you have an established cancer, folate then may feed a cancer. So we have to be careful then. If you're a woman who has estrogen dominance and you know you have estrogen dominance, how? Breast pain, uterine fibroids, possible endometriosis, other risk. You're constipated. That doesn't let the estrogen leave your body when we have constipation issues. We need more fiber. We need more lignans in the diet to help carry that estrogen out. We need more supplements such as calcium D-glucarate, DIMPRO. We need supplements like that to help us. We need a fiber-rich diet and a healthy fat diet, a lower carbohydrate diet. We need to lose weight if we're carrying excess weight, to reduce our insulin-like growth factor in the body, to reduce those inflammatory cytokines that are being secreted by the fat depot, especially in the belly, but also in the hips and thighs. So the things that we can control: eating a diet that's low in processed foods and sugar. Avoiding alcohol is a big one, because drinking more alcohol, there's a higher risk factor for cancers, especially breast cancer in women. I wonder if it's because the alcohol is destroying folate. And I've often told my patients who don't want to stop having their wine and they're having more than one, I tell them to make sure they're taking a B-complex vitamin to, you know, to bring back the B vitamins, because alcohol destroys B vitamins, it destroys magnesium, very much the way that sugar does. Are you a shift worker? Working at night. People who work at night, who work the graveyard shift, have a higher incidence of cancer. It could be because they're not making a lot of melatonin. Okay? Inflammation in the body. Do you have a high C-reactive protein? Do you have high blood sugar levels, whether it's fasting, whether it's a higher hemoglobin A1C? You want to keep that hemoglobin A1C below 5.6. 5.6, 5.7 is the beginning of prediabetes. Optimally, 5.0 would be a pretty good hemoglobin A1C. Exercise. This is huge. You know, when you exercise, It's almost like taking metformin. And you may have heard some physicians are prescribing metformin to prevent cancer recurrence. Metformin works by making cells more sensitive to insulin. Guess what mimics that? Exercise. I don't care if it's cardio you're doing or weight training or walking for 20 to 30 minutes a day. You've got to do this at least 3 times a week, up to 6 or 7 times a week. It makes your cells more sensitive to insulin. So exercise is definitely part of the prescription. As far as your diet to prevent cancer recurrence, eat good low glycemic organic vegetables. Stay away from the starchy vegetables as these turn rapidly to sugar in the body. You cannot eat as much fruit as you like, and you should limit your fruit to not more than 3 a day. The 3 fruits we tell our cancer patients to avoid are grapes, bananas, and watermelon. Does it mean never eat them? No, but they should not be your main source of fruit. Grapes, bananas, and watermelon contain a lot of sugar, and that's the reason we're staying away. Fats and oils. Stay away from the high omega-6 fats. You've heard me talk about this before, but it's worth a repeat. Your corn oil, safflower, sunflower, soybean oil should never be used. Use only good quality extra virgin olive oil, real butter, grass-fed organic butter, and good quality coconut oil. Get rid of any sugar and sugar substitutes in your diet. These are the ways to prevent a cancer recurrence. Keep yourself at a healthy weight. Reduce the environmental toxins in your, you know, in your medicine cabinet, your makeup, your lipstick, all of that. Your lotions, your shampoos, your soaps, your laundry detergent. Check all those things, your household cleaners. These are all the things that we can control. And giving up dairy in my gut really tells me that we don't need dairy, first of all. After we've been weaned from the breast, we do not need dairy in our diets. We have plenty of sources of calcium in our diets already. So the elimination of dairy, I think, is only a good thing, especially in the setting of cancer. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In on this Intelligent Medicine podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.